Is it not the case that these children will be breathing in diesel fumes from your buses until 2037? Is that true? Is it true that these children will be breathing in diesel emissions from your buses until 2037?
You're out of time. He's managed to...
He's managed to shake his head and avoid the answer. Because your posturing is exactly that. Posturing, but doing practically nothing.
Sustained campaign by TfL, government, multinational corporations to destroy the London cab trade. Everything that's been done in recent memory has been of no assistance to the London hackney carriage trade and has basically made it a non-viable business proposition.
We really need to be classified as a public service, and we need access to, you know, as the slogan says, where buses go, we go. Because it's a really worrying future, if not.
What you said yesterday, Mr. Khan, is probably going to be the worst thing you could have probably turned around and said to the London taxi trade. What we're going to be doing now is we're going to be coming after you, and we're going to be coming after you every single day, probably until we actually get you and force you out.
Sadiq Khan, he needs to go. He needs to resign. What he said about the taxi trade was disgusting. He needs to resign.
Sadiq, oh my God, what have you done? What have you done? You've just handed notice into 23,000 cab.
Mr. Mike Brown, who I noticed in his thing with Mr. Khan the other day, said that they have fought for our rights to be using bus lanes. They've went to court over it in the past. Let's be quite clear about this. That court case was to stop Addison Lee getting into bus lanes. That was to stop, which we would have today, 80,000 minicabs using bus lanes. Those 80,000 minicabs and bus lanes would slow up the buses.
This station's not your cup of tea.
Then drink coffee!
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 Coffee! Drink coffee!
100% music.
100% news.
100%
information.
100% guarantee.
Thought you might say that.
London Taxi Radio. The cabbie's choice.
It was the coldest night of the year, and I got a puncture. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I know it's not a big deal in the big picture of things, and it could be a lot worse, couldn't it? But at the time it happens, you get a puncture and you just go, oh, that's all I need. And coming after a long week at the demonstrations and needing to go out and earn some money on Friday night, oh, you just think, I don't need it. I've got a passenger as well. And you know, when you can hear that, you know, you think, what's wrong? And there is an ambivalence in your feelings about a puncture, because you think it's something much worse, don't you? It's pulling you to the side, you think, what's going on? There is the sense of being relieved when you find out it is a puncture, but nevertheless, it's still an inconvenience. And on a night like Siberia, oh, what a night, freezing cold. But I didn't have to worry too much, because the vigilante heroes flew in to the rescue. That's the fine figure of a man, Scott Worsley, and the fine figure of a man, Lee Chapman. They came racing to the rescue, and Myrna was overseeing things, wasn't she? Overseeing proceedings. But they cracked on, and within minutes, I was up and running again and driving off with a slow puncture in my spare. But nevertheless, it had all been sorted out. All was good. It was great. It was great. They really did put themselves out. And they seemed to be just around the corner, which was brilliant, because it was a bitter, bitter night. And did it without gloves. Now, that's a vigilante hero for you. That was it. That was my Friday night. I mean, really had to work on Friday night. And not unlike everybody else. I mean, I don't hold the patent on that. I mean, everybody had been at demonstrations all week, and big up those who got there as much as they could. And it really is a case in point, isn't it? Because I don't hold the patent on really having to tighten the belt because of those demonstrations and having to go out as well and work. And if you get something like a puncture, it's a pretty big deal on that night at that time. At all other times, it might not be such a big deal, but really having to get out there, pick ourselves up. Because the thing is about these protests, well, not just these protests, but the thing about protests is they do tend to wipe you out, and you don't feel like going to work afterwards. I don't know, they seem to have a strange effect. And certainly I know this weekend and next week, everybody will probably be on a bit of a crash because of demonstrating all week and then suddenly not demonstrating and not getting anything, no solidification as far as talks or even solutions go. So we could be sitting it out for a little while yet. And the direct action, that's called, is just one way we are tackling the issue, isn't it? There's also other initiatives that are going on. And one of those is UTAG, of course, the legal route. And got to be said, it's gaining momentum big time. We've never had this before. Not really. Not got this way before, where lawyers have come to us and said, we want this case. That's what they said to us. And why not? Proper corporate lawyers on the case. Never had it. We've been used to McNamara's men or TfL, absurdly, the regulator taking a neutral position and invariably not taking a neutral position when it comes down to it and taking the side against us, against their regulated trade. Can you believe it? Our dispute is also about having resolve. It's about showing defiance. It's about having zero tolerance. It's about entering those areas that they have restricted us from. And that's a numbers game, isn't it? But it is about us fulfilling our remit as a taxi driver, which you trained and are qualified and meet every licensing criteria to do. So your vehicle meets the conditions of fitness, you meet the required level necessary to ply for hire on the streets of the capital. Only they are saying you can't go into these roads to ply for hire. You can't fulfil your remit or your job description, can you? And you cannot become a taxi driver and enter those areas via any other route. No matter that you meet all the licensing criteria, no matter that you drive a 100% fully wheelchair accessible vehicle, no matter that you are a door-to-door service, and that's crucial because TfL coined the phrase, didn't they, that there are no no-go areas and that you have a compellability order to take someone to their desired destination. And on the back of that, passengers can fully expect to be taken to their desired destination. And it is not up to TfL or Camden Council or anyone else for that matter, unless they're a diagnostician, to determine whether your passenger has the ability to walk from where you drop them off to their destination. It is not their remit to do that. And as we know, most disabilities aren't visible. And a lot of people that take a taxi do so for a number of reasons, don't they? One of them is because they are infirm. So there's a lot more infirm people out there that need to be taken to their destination. There's a lot of people with shopping or goods that need to be taken where they need to go. And, crucially, the choice to use a taxi whose driver is fully conversant with the infrastructure of London and will know their way to where you want to go and be dropped at your desired destination. Why would they take away that choice? You cannot do anything that would permit you to enter these areas. 2 plus 2 can never equal 5. This is an engineered attempt to drill down the taxi trade to extinction. And if they think we're putting up with it, we are not. Especially that the policies they are trying to implement are done on the back of a lie. It doesn't matter if you take black cabs. It doesn't matter if you don't. It doesn't matter even if you don't like black cabs. No one should be in favour of policy implemented on the back of a lie. A dirty, great, big lie.
Different world.
And that's why this country is going down the tubes. Because nobody wants to tackle anything. Everybody's afraid.
In a perverse way, you can say that. I can't, really.
But that is wrong, isn't it? Because if something is wrong, it's wrong. Right, well, is right and wrong is wrong.
I think that's the whole battle we're having.
Okay.
About free speech anyway.
And if people want to drive a cab on the streets of London,
yeah.
If you can speak more than one language, you make a brilliant cab driver. But you must be able to converse in English.
For your passengers.
With your passengers, and if you can't converse in English, we've got a serious problem here. How do you read the road signs?
Yeah.
Is this why they're having so much accidents?
There's a lot of accidents in the
We've got people in danger here. And while we're on the subject, I'll go on something else as well.
Do you think TfL have a duty of care to the travelling public?
TfL should be looking out for the safety of the public, which they are not doing. The GLA, the Greater London Authority, has a charter.
Yeah.
That says the mayor can do anything in his power to further their principal purposes. What are their principal purposes? To improve the environment, create wealth in the environment, and look after the environment. And in doing their principal purposes, they must make sure that what they do should not bring effect of harm and loss to others. Yeah. Well, what they've done to the black cab trade, is he following this charter? No, he's not. He's totally gone against it.
So you feel they've let us down?
Of course they have. When the mayor gets and says he needs more powers to stop the private hire, well, his charter says he doesn't. Because he can do anything to further his principal purposes. Yeah? He's meant to create wealth. What wealth is he creating? By knocking millions off the black cab by reducing the age.
I think it's 150 million that's come off.
Okay, you've done this. You are restricting our work. Okay? Drivers are having to either leave. What's going to happen next? Are we going to do like the Uber drivers now and go for tax credits? Because that's where you're pushing us. What happens next? And how can they sit there and agree and allow this to happen?
Well, I know last month, well, last year, 2,000 cabs come off the road.
Yeah.
And this month, just 52 cabs were licensed.
Yeah.
So if that carries on, Courtney, we're going to really have trouble with cabs,
you know,
going off.
We have
not enough coming on.
We have the greatest cab service in the world, in what is supposed to be the greatest city in the world.
I agree with both of them.
But we have some politically corrupt people. Not correct, politically corrupt. Because all they're doing is corrupting the minds of the people with all this politically correct business.
And again, Courtney, I'll go back to the point that you was a...
You don't mention the lady, she's complaining. You keep mentioning gents and there's a lot of ladies on this
table. Oh, sorry. I have just been told that I am not mentioning the ladies.
You're not politically correct.
Can we please bring the lady over, please? And I must mention, yes, we have got a lot of women cab drivers here.
Come on,
please
then,
come, please
it.
Come, please come, please come.
No,
I'm not. No, we're not. We're not.
I just want to say, don't forget the ladies.
No, I apologise. We apologise for not mentioning.
Yeah, please.
Because there are many women who are driving the cabs.
Yeah.
And I must say this.
Yeah.
As a woman driving a London cab, it is the greatest form of part-time work a woman can have, especially if she has children.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
Especially if she has children.
Get on the knowledge, yeah.
It empowers her.
Every job in the world.
The whole lot.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy driving
love
the
it.
Black
there's
cab?
There's 400 of them. 400
and how long
pages.
Have you been driving the cab, Mother?
6 years.
Got you out. Love it?
That's when the Ubers come out and the Olympics come out. Yeah, I do love it.
Good.
And I just want to say, please don't forget the ladies, all right? All you men,
true.
Do all your good work. And
I love ladies.
You. It's brilliant.
Remember, and I have to say this as well, we have to put the woman at the forefront because without the woman, there is no life.
Power, exactly. There's a lot of good ladies out
there.
Okay. There is a lot of good ladies.
I've started a ladies WhatsApp group, and any lady I'm talking to, say, get on our group, you know? I want to be on all the groups, but I'm just saying, a bit of, you know, if girls want to talk differently. But
please,
when I hear you all,
look at her
go,
sign, look.
All the guys go, yeah, gents, let's. But it's loads of ladies as well.
And we have. I have to agree with her. Yes.
I am proud of what you're doing. I love everything what you're doing. But it's just that little thing, it hurts. It's like, don't forget the ladies, please. Just, you know,
but
you'll work
ladies,
hard.
You're in. You're
yeah,
in.
You promise you're me? Thank
100%,
you,
100%.
I want to apologise
100%.
For that.
100%.
Yeah. Courtney,
apologise
on behalf for leaving the women
you rude,
out. We should not be leaving
cab drivers. Come on.
Yeah, I'm Terry.
Terry, lovely. All right, it's good to see you.
Thank you, darling. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. That told us.
Yeah, she certainly made it
clear. Didn't she just? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she,
but
and she
but
is
again,
she is
again,
right.
Courtney, look,
she
like
right.
You said,
yeah.
with the great knowledge campaign and seminar we held at City Hall, right? The diverse nature of the cab trade, women, men, people from all over the globe are driving
cabs. My argument
cabs,
is,
I've it mirrors
said
London,
it
Courtney,
is the
yeah?
greatest form of multiculturalism that this city can show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did Grant just say the diverse nature of the cab trade, women and men? Did he just say that? Is there anybody else? I guess anybody could train in the knowledge to become a taxi driver, couldn't they? So I suppose there could be a hairdresser amongst them. But women and men? That was Grant Davis and profound words from Courtney Connell. He was at the Tottenham Court Road demonstration and he's been away for a little while, but he's back and we can expect to see more of him. Now, I briefly mentioned UTAG earlier, didn't I? But this week, on the 13th and 14th, that's Wednesday and Thursday, the JR regarding Uber's licensing decision is being heard in the High Court, isn't it? Now, both Angela Clarkson and Trevor Merrills, directors of UTAG, they'll be joining me on a show very quickly after the decision is made. Now, there are no guarantees, are there? But this is as near as damn it. But whatever the outcome, they'll both be joining me on the show. Until then, I'm going to play you a short message left to me by Ange. And this is the reason why we all need to get behind it. Because the defence lawyers, well, they've been up to dirty tricks, haven't they? Now, you could say anyone who associates themselves with such a parasitic company is up to no good. But again, I reiterate, it's one of the reasons why we need to come together and fund UTAG. So here it is.
As I said, we're nearly there now. We have a great case. You were in the Hoxton. You heard Stuart Jessop. He explained what a good case we have and why. He read out the remarks of Mr. Justice Paul Walker, who allowed the JR in fairly record time. And I think that's what caused an audible gasp in the room, his reaction to what had happened and his coruscating remarks about Uber and their behaviour. We got a good case, but let's be under no illusions. There are others on the opposition who are out to do us down. And the dirty tricks and the Machiavellian length they have gone to over the last few weeks, I mean, it reaches new depths even for them. And blimey, we know the depths that they will go to. But this is even worse than that. We can't say anything now, as you wouldn't expect, because it would jeopardise the case. But as soon as that case is over, whichever way it goes, Trevor and I will come on to your show and we will tell everything. We will give you chapter and verse. Who said what? Who's meant to have done this? Who's tried to do this? We'll expose the lot, because the trade needs to know what we are up against and why UTAG must succeed, must grow, must get all the funding and the backing to see this through to the end, to see TFL in court, in the dock, for their complicity. That is the end game. The JR is good, it's an adjunct to the rest of it, but the main course will be getting TFL in there. And after finding out what they've been up to over the last couple of weeks, if that's not the appetite the trade need, then I don't know what is. That in conjunction with Khan's message on Thursday. But we can come to all that when we come on your show. And also Trev can explain very, very well why the Reading case, although it wasn't helpful towards us, it's not the game changer that some people thought it would be. It really isn't. Our case and following cases are not dead. They are far from dead. So, you know, having said that, I'd just like to thank a couple of people personally. Our ranks teams, Gary Long, Steve Jewell, Jamie Roberts, Jamie Dawson. They've been out there for weeks, getting frozen. Sarah Smith. And in the background, we've had other great support from Danny, Lenny, Mickey Smith. They have been fantastic. Really, really good. And their input won't be forgotten. The stakeholders have been fantastic. And for once, the trade and the stakeholders can see the future depends on UTAG. And it depends on the drivers and the stakeholders working as one, not two different parts of the trade, but as the trade encapsulated with all of us on board. So thanks again, my love. Hopefully it will be a victory and the champagne will be popping on Thursday or whenever the dishes and decision comes across. Even if it doesn't go our way, it's not the end. So onwards and upwards, and I'll see you later. Thanks for everything, Sean. Bye.
£250 isn't a lot to ask to secure our future, or at least give us the best chance of securing our future. When you look at the multi-layered attack upon our industry, £250 is merely a drop in the ocean. We'll be back after this.
The latest evolutionary step for London taxis is here. Introducing Taxi App.
Taxi App.
Uniquely founded, funded and owned by London black cab drivers.
Taxi App.
Just tap the app and pay for your journey by cash, card or on account.
Taxi App.
For the most qualified and knowledgeable taxi drivers in the world.
Taxi App.
Available to download now for free from Google Play and App Store or visit taxiapp.uk.com. Taxi App. Powered by technology, driven by knowledge.
Story about a man who drank a lot. His wife said, if you ever come home drunk again, I'm going to leave you. And he went out to a pub and drank a lot and threw up all over himself and said to his friend, if I come home, my wife will leave me. His friend said, I'll tell you what, go home and tell her somebody threw up over you and put a £20 note in your inside jacket pocket and show it and said, he gave me this for the dry cleaning bill. And he comes home and his wife, and she said, no. Somebody threw up over me, gave me £20 for the cleaning bill. She said, why have you got two £20 notes in your hand? He said, oh, the other one is from the man who shat in my pants.
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
Okay, now cast your mind back to the Mayor's Question Time on the 17th of January. If you recall, Mayor Sadiq Khan told GLA Councillor David Curtin that taxis in central London produced 20% of the NOx emissions. Now, he said that would rise to 30% in the year 2020. I've no idea where he comes to these conclusions, folks, but nevertheless, when he was questioned by David Curtin about the validity of these statistics, Mayor Carlton went all defensive, didn't he? He said, well, I can ignore the experts, I can ignore the science that some people want me to do. That's what he said. But in a written statement later to David Curtin, Mayor Carlton admitted that the figures were just estimates and that they weren't based on measurements at all. So you could say they were plucked out of thin air. Now, this is all very well, isn't it? It's all very well. But these guesstimated statistics are now flying around the media, and inherent publications like the Evening Standard are presenting them as facts because they don't have to put allegedly. They could just quote the mayor because he's presented them as facts himself. So that's the problem. That's the fight we have. And beyond that, we have to point out that every taxi follows TfL mandated guidelines over emissions. So we have a smoke test every year. We have two MOTs every single year. And the mayor is using this zombie statistic to push through a third-party agenda that fits his future transport strategy. We can't even consider applying for hire if they take away the infrastructure, can we? And if they take away the infrastructure and push us amongst private vehicles, which force us to go the long route round or not the most direct route, then we will be considered an inefficient form of transport. Inefficiency determines future transport policy. And the fewer people take us, the more inefficient we are. And the more inefficient we are, the fewer people take us. So you see how secular this is. And it could spell the end to the 365-year-old tradition of plying for hire. You've got to get with it, folks. It's no good criticising the protests, because the only way we get the message out, the only way we can get information out, is via the demonstrations. They are not affording us a platform anywhere else. We have the biggest fight on our hands with the environment, because every political party, everybody, every business has to buy into this initiative. I remember a few years ago, I think it was under New Labour, when they brought in a policy where businesses had to accommodate the disabled. Now, it's only recently they've turned around and said, well, maybe every Hackney carriage doesn't have to be wheelchair compatible, which is a disgusting indictment of where we find ourselves now, because being 100% wheelchair accessible is about liberty. Each person that hails a cab isn't dependent on capability physically or emotionally. It is a service that is providing for you. It doesn't matter what your capability is, it provides for you. And so it is a disgusting indictment of where we find ourselves. But nevertheless, what was important just a few years ago isn't important. And you know, if we claim about the environment that it has been debunked, and no matter how much we'll bang our heads on a brick wall, because there is so much money, so much peripheral business involved in environmental issues, then we are really on the back foot. If we don't have resolve, our argument, the truth, will fade into insignificance. And when I talk about the truth, truth, as I said, would fade away like as if it was never there, and the zombie statistic would prevail. And that's what we're fighting against, because there is so much opposition to our argument that pollution isn't man-made, that it is an environmental issue, and penalising or being punitive against certain demographics because you don't like them or because you have a consensus of opinion amongst your mates isn't right, it is immoral, and you should go. You should go, because you are implementing policy on the back of a great big dirty lie.
Nothing can break, nothing.
The lovely and delectable Ursula, well, the voluptuous Ursula also, she's taken time out. She's gone off to the island of Lesbos, of all places, on an impromptu holiday. But, fortunately, the equally as svelte Jim Thomas passed by, and he stood in for her this week. So we look forward to that, because they'll be checking out the delights in Southeast One. I just hope him and Myrna can keep their hands off each other.
Here I am with my boyfriend Jim Thomas, because my girlfriend Ursula left me, just went to the Lesbos without me. To say that I'm heartbroken is understatement, but here he is, making my days much better. Well, Ursula, you'll be sorry, because I've been all week going around Jim with Jim Thomas around Great Suffolk Street. We've been demoing together. We had a fabulous time. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Mum.
Send her a message.
Hello, Ursula. I hope you get better soon, sweetheart.
Better? She's on a holiday without me, for God's sake, Jim. Anyway, me and Jim had a fabulous week, didn't we, darling?
Yes, we did.
Tell them where we've been.
We was demoing in Tottenham Court Road, and we got a bit cold walking up and down, keeping the outside lane clear. So we decided to go in the shops and see how the staff was, what they were thinking about what was going on with the demo, and if they supported us. And I must say that like 99% of everyone we spoke to supported us. It was only the cyclist that was giving us the
bad time. I think that actually support was really overwhelming by residents and by the businesses.
That's right. And I must say I really enjoyed it inside Habitats.
Oh, me too, my darling. I mean, we even find the sofa that we like together.
Yes, we like the sofa.
Anyway, and you know what was the best? The best is that really, in these 2 weeks, we have soared the Tottenham Court Road. I think emergency services was flowing beautifully.
Flowing like a dream.
I know.
Well, we've had a lot of stick with people taking photographs from a different perspective, before the demo and after the demo, when, you know, there was ambulances caught in congestion, but it was nothing to do with us. It was taken at a completely different time. We've got photographs and videos to show that the road was clear most of the time.
Yes. And then we end up, I'm going to say, after the demo, really, my Jimmy, you had to have your license sorted, didn't you? And
yes.
You met a beautiful woman in a transport flight. And I was jealous.
I came down to the licensing drop-in centre to find out that it's not a drop-in centre. You need an appointment, apparently. I rang the bell and he wouldn't see me. So I went round the other side at 2:30 Blackfriars Road to complain. And the staff there couldn't do anything because they're just staff from the building and no one from TFL will come down and see me. Because I was getting very stressed, the lift opened and a young lady walked out and she said to me, "Why are you getting so upset?" So I explained everything to her, that I'm having a lot of trouble renewing my bill. I've been trying to renew it since October. And everything I was doing, I kept getting emails back saying it hadn't gone through, this hadn't worked. And it's nearly run out now. You know, I'm sort of getting to the stage now, a couple of days time my bill runs out.
I know, and you know what? I think the worst thing is, I think you were stressed out because you knew if you can't work, you're not going to see me.
That's right, yeah. I mean, what do I do? I can't drive my cab.
I know.
I won't be out seeing Myrna and Sean.
I know, that would be a travesty. Anyway,
but anyway,
you said
she said to me, "I'll tell you what," she said, "give me your passport and your details and I'll go upstairs and I'll sort it now." This young lady called Maureen, and she went in and she come back out and she winked at me and she said, "I've sorted everything out for you."
Hold on, you're telling me she winked at you?
She winked at me.
Oh, that's it. I'm leaving you.
She said, "I've sorted everything out for you." And I was emotional. I must admit, I did shed a tear.
Well, you're emotional. I'm well gelled.
I'm so pleased at what she's done for me, because it's put to bed the what I was going through. I could have gone through the org, but I wanted to do it myself. I mean, I've been driving a cab for 45 years, nearly 46 years, and this is the first time I've ever had this type of experience. I mean, I renewed my driving license the other day online, and it took 5 minutes. I mean, everything, I just ticked the boxes. The photo that's on my passport will be used for my photo card. I paid the money and I got an email back straight away saying, "It's sorted, you'll get it within 5 days." Why can't it be that simple with TFL? Why has it got to be so difficult? I've got my own feeling about that, but that's just another topic.
But thanks to Maureen, the day was saved. Yeah. And then you took me. Tell everybody where you took me.
We went to Gordon Ramsay's
Union Street Cafe.
Union Street Cafe, and we had a nice meal. What did you have, Myrna?
Baby, I had a risotto because you know I'm a vegetarian, actually trying to be vegan, and I had a beautiful risotto. And you had?
I had a lasagna.
I think that the food was very nice.
I do like Italian cooking.
Yes, and because we didn't try, we had a glass of red wine.
No,
yes, we did, and it was absolutely fabulous. Obviously, we're not going to work today, but we had to celebrate.
Yes, it was a good job I come up on the tube because I had more than one glass.
The same as me. So I think that Sean Paul, they will have to pick us up and drive
and
us
take
home.
Us home, yeah. That's a nice round trip, isn't it? Harrow and then rain.
I know. Rain, I'm in a six. But anyway, other day we would like to mention one of our favorite places. And this is when our Sean Paul Day discovered his spaghetti bolognese that they are on basically nearly every day on his menu. And this is our cafe.
Great Suffolk Street.
Yes, the food is absolutely fantastic, I think.
The food is fantastic.
I know.
And the company is very good as well.
Absolutely, that's me. And I must say, because I'm vegan, but sometimes I do eat, you know, go some sort of a dairies or something. They're really good because they always makes food for me.
That's right. I do a vegetarian spaghetti, don't I?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Or a vegan
yes,
one.
Yes. He does me always with the corn spaghetti.
That's
plus
right.
He does
you had it with your mate Benny.
Yes, I did. Yeah. No, we had, you know what we had that day? We had spaghetti with pesto.
Right.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Oh, hello, I've not seen you.
No, look who's there.
I've got your sausage sandwich behind the counter, Myrna, if you're ready for it.
Yes, from Greg's.
I've not seen you two
here.
Well, I just thought I'd pass by, you know, have something to eat.
You see, jealous.
I've toed in the hole or something.
Jealous, nice, trying to spy on us. Well, Sean Paul, I'm going to leave you.
I'm a bit surprised, really.
Leave you for Jim Thomas, because he just took me to Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, well, I've got to go anyway. I've got a demo to go to.
Anyway, I think, folks, this was all from us this week, and hopefully Ursula, come back. I do love you.
Yeah, we all love you.
We do. Yeah. Jim.
She's frustrated though. She's a bit frustrated.
Got to say that. We are trying.
So be aware if you see this, you know, buxom.
Be aware if you see this. Big boobs.
Yeah, well, you know, voluptuous. Yes. Yeah, there you go. That's
absolutely
the best.
Absolutely. Voluptuous. Anyway, thank you very much, everybody.
And thank you. Thanks for a wonderful day.
Oh, Jim, it was absolutely fantastic. Bye-bye. I am the green grass and you are the rain. Fall on me, make me grow. No one will ever know. Fall on me, make me grow. Take my hand until tomorrow. I'm your man. Step back in.
London Taxi Radio, 24/7, non-stop music.
So it's time to break out the big guns.
This week's news headlines from Taxi Leaks News Desk. On Wednesday this week, Mike Brown and Sadiq Khan issued the London taxi trade with its P45. Khan told the GLA taxis are no longer to be part of London transport. It's as if he's trying to encourage our passengers onto buses by banning taxis from not only bus lanes, but whole streets. The High Court have ruled in favour of Uber in the Reading Plying for Hire case, and in Birmingham, Uber have been granted a one-year trial licence. Good news, as the Court of Appeal has refused TfL's Cycle Superhighway 11 after complaints from local residents and Westminster Council. Big news of the week. On Friday, we saw the ITA's 12th demo against the Tottenham Court Road ban. Police sealed off a massive area to traffic to keep road space open for emergency vehicles. More drivers are turning up now after TfL's statement to the GLA on Wednesday, and the demos are to continue on Monday, Wednesday and Friday of next week.
Broadcasting from a secret location. You're tuned to
London Taxi Radio.
You don't mind if I put the radio on, do you? No, see what the team is?
Not at all.
Let's kick it off there. Go on, Ward.
Go on, Tal.
Looking from a window above, looks like a story.
Today from start to finish.
Ed them like snagger.
I actually thought they were brilliant today.
Straight out there on the front foot, winning every tackle, winning every ball. What is that?
That vinegar.
Come on, you blue!
All I needed was the love you gave.
We're West Ham. We ain't singing.
How are you feeling after that?
The try is
in the right day, didn't we?
And that was the new ad for the Premier League. If you see the new ad, you will notice at the beginning there's a cab and it has a blue sticker in the window to say that it's been at the demonstrations. It is driven by Tony Walker. Tony Walker is the guy that can be seen doing Henry V speech. Pretty good he is too. And also, he's one of the participants in the 7-Up series, if you recall that. 7-Up concerns a group of children that were chosen to follow them throughout their lives every 7 years. And he is the cab driver in it. So I think it's due. I think I was talking to him the other day. And there is a little bit of an interview with him on Periscope at one of the demonstrations. I'll have to locate it for you and put it up. But definitely worth a listen. He is one of the participants in that series. And a fascinating series it is too. Thank you.
Yeah, we've congregated here today because licensed taxi drivers, which are the safest transport option in the capital, are being restricted by certain areas. So we're calling upon TfL to fulfil the mayor's policies and allow taxis into all areas. We're saying where buses go, taxis go. Yeah, we're in the middle of Bank Junction. Now, Bank Junction has applied restrictions on taxis right here in the centre of the junction. We are saying that it is done disingenuously. It is an engineered attempt to improve bus journey time. So it has nothing to do with safety. They coined the phrase bank on safety. We're saying that's disingenuous. It's based on an untruth and to rescind on it and allow taxis here in the junction. He said he was the mayor that would oversee the renaissance of the Black Cab train, and I call upon him to fulfil his election campaign and allow taxis into all bus lanes, all areas, all roads.
If this station isn't your cup of coffee,
then drink tea.
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 Tea. Drink tea.
Ooh.
Drink tea.
Drink tea.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
100% music. 100% news. 100% information.
Yeah.
100% guaranteed.
Loving this.
Thought you might say that.
Oh boy, were they wrong?
They want you to work longer to spread out that cost. Now, what do they say to vulnerable consumers, the disabled, who need to use our service? What have they said in mitigation to them? The mitigation to them is, guess what? You will pay it. The consumer won't have to pay for it in an increased fare. You'll pay for it. I say that is unfair.
Yeah!
I want to tell you that this battle will carry on, but all of us together, all of us together, every week we're out here, every month.
Every Monday. Every Monday.
Until we win this, we'll do whatever it takes.
Every Monday.
I want to say one more thing. One thing that's really important. We need to be honest. We need to be honest. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with ourselves in that we have very few political friends in this town. We're not like the black cab trade who have access. We are denied our right to representation in this building. So we need to fight politically to win this battle.
Now, that was the private hire demonstration that happened on London Bridge the other day, and Rowdy Bunch, unlike ours at the moment, which is almost like a silent protest, isn't it? Which isn't too bad, but I think sometimes the message needs to get out there, and that is a rowdy one. But nevertheless, there's a lot of energy for it. I'm just a bit confused, though, when he says about the black cabs having access, because we're not represented in that building. And what I'm doubly confused with when they say they don't have access and we do is that it's only the licensed taxi trade that's being eroded. The erosion is happening to us. Private hire has gained everything from us. We've gained nothing from private hire because there was nothing to gain, but they have gained everything. So I don't quite understand when they're the ones that say they don't have access, and as if they are the ones that are on the back foot. We are the privileged ones. Well, we wasn't the privileged ones. We was the regulated ones. Private hire were minicabs who weren't licensed. So, I don't quite get it. I don't quite get it. And at a previous private hire demonstration, when they're carrying banners, waving injustice, injustice all the time, I think how quickly you forget. How quickly you forget. Where is the injustice against them? I don't really get where the injustice comes from. Uber never promised them anything. Uber never gave them some custom and practice history to fall back on. They just did what they did and hoped Uber would see them right. A parasitic company like Uber seeing them right. Are they mad? And this is the argument, isn't it? I also watched Gig Guy something. A very well-spoken lad. And pretty much everybody castigated black cabs. Like, why aren't they charging black cabs? Now, the thing is with that, it doesn't matter if they do charge us. They'll still be paying it. So it seems like their argument isn't so much that they don't want to pay it, but we should be shunted down to being the same as them. And that seems to give them satisfaction. Not that they will have a better time of it, just they don't want us to have a better time of it. Do you know what I mean? And I find that quite odd kind of behaviour, considering we was the incumbent trade. They wasn't. They was the infiltrators. They came in. They hijacked our industry. We didn't do that to them. We didn't go looking for a war. When Uber drivers realise that this isn't a taxi war per se, they might actually make some progress. And the black cab trade never lobbied for Uber drivers to pay the congestion charge. Absolutely not. In fact, I was on the opposing bench. I didn't want them to pay it simply because it would make them a very valuable partner to TfL. It would double their value. Uber's already worth about 22 million to TfL. It will double to about 50 million. So when they demand a meeting or request a meeting, who do you think they will see? The cab trade's worth about 4 million plus. That's all, a net plus. 50 million plus they'll be worth. Well, I wouldn't like to put odds on us getting that meeting. And also, another thing, I don't want their drivers working 80 plus hours a week and driving. That is dangerous, and I think TfL have lacked a duty of care in this area. And to apply another levy, another charge on them, another tax, you could say, forcing them to stay out longer, is absolutely a dereliction of their duty of care to that driver. It's different, isn't it, if they're sitting at a desk and they nod off and fall off the seat. If you're driving up the M1 or up the A13, a dangerous road, you sure as hell know a roader will put you to sleep. Absolutely dangerous. What is happening in the mindset of TfL? I tell you what's happening. Money. Money has got to them. Uber drivers need to turn their attention to their own CEO, because he is the one that lobbied the DfT. He is the one that lobbied for them to pay the congestion charge. And if Uber, the company, has lobbied to pay the congestion charge, we should be looking on it very suspiciously, shouldn't we? They lobbied to pay the congestion charge, and the Department of Transport agreed. So that's where you have it. Uber drivers focusing on black cabs paying it doesn't mean jack.
Tell me, is life just a playground? Figure the real deal, honey, and someone will always look out for you.
Good luck in your new bed. Enjoy your night.
London Taxi Radio for your mobile and the internet.
Modern man. I look down on them because I'm from a more advanced society.
I'm Renaissance man. I look up to him because he is on average 4 inches taller than I am. But I look down on him because he is a smelly, ignorant serf.
I'm medieval man. I look up to them because I am a smelly, ignorant serf. I live in a one-room hovel made of straw and manure.
I live in a new Barrett's estate, so I envy him. However, I do have hot and cold running water, a car, a Yamaha organ, a TV, and a new video. Although I don't know how to work it.
I have cold running water, a map of the world, which includes the Americas, a telescope, and the collected works of Homer in 39 weekly parts.
I have a pig. Although I don't know how to work it. I am so ignorant, I think the sun goes to bed at night.
I think the sun revolves around the earth.
I think the sun shines out of my trousers.
I work as a weaver. For that reason, I'm called Mr. Weaver.
I am a miller, so I'm called Mr. Miller.
My name's Ramsbottom. So I'm called Sir.
I have a hard life. I'm 23. I have one day off a year when we get drunk and hit each other with pig's bladders on sticks.
I have 2 days off a week when I watch TV and go to home base.
I have 1 day off a week when I go to church. But I must admit, the pig's bladder thing sounds a lot more fun.
I'm feudal. I believe in doing what His Lordship tells me.
I'm an optimist. I believe in progress.
I'm New Labour, so I don't believe in anything.
I encourage education. I teach my children to read.
My children don't have a school, so they can't read.
My children go to comprehensive school, so they can't read either.
Throughout the history of Britain, some things never change.
I blame the Normans. I hate the French because they beat us in 1066.
I hate the French because they beat us in 1998.
I just hate the French. I don't need a reason.
All in all, I think my life is better than theirs.
I think my life is not as good as his, but better than his.
I'm a smelly, ignorant serf. But at least I don't have to put up with pollution, global warming, nuclear war, GM food, stress, and Carol Vorderman. Whoever he is.
Well, sod this. Anybody fancy a pint?
What about the Watland Dog? That's a very nice pub.
No, no, it's not a pub anymore. That's the Burbage Theatre nowadays.
No, I think you'll find it's now the Hanger Lane Gyratory System.
And of course, that was the late, great Ronnie Barker and the late, great Ronnie Corbett. And they was joined by not John Cleese, because he's in the original sketch, isn't he? That's Stephen Fry. It's quite old in itself, I think, because of the terminology they use, but I don't recall seeing it myself. And it's a skit on class through the ages, you could say. Now, on Wednesday, I accompanied Chris Johnson, along with one or two others, namely Paul Harris and Jim Thomas, and we descended on TFL to ask them a question
that they haven't been forthcoming in answering. Now, we've emailed them several times and still no answer. So we told them we was coming so that they could give us a fully comprehensive answer that we could relay back to the trade. So if you go on to London Taxi Radio Periscope, you'll be able to see the whole thing. Still, I did manage to catch up with Chris and I asked him why the question was so important.
What they do, they smile in your face.
All the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers.
They don't like it up themselves.
Taxi Radio.
TFL for an answer to what is a pressing question, and they've not been forthcoming with an answer. What is the question you want answered, Chris?
Yes, since November, I've been writing to Transport for London and asking whether I can accept wait in Bishop Stortford, Hertfordshire, my hometown, wait in the area and accept a hiring from an operator, a taxi operator in Bishop Stortford. Transport for London have refused to answer the question. For the last couple of weeks, we've been writing to TFL daily. David Curtin is now writing. Keith Prince is now writing. Caroline Pidgeon is putting it in her, as a question to the mayor. So we've got lots of politicians asking this question on our behalf now. And it's an important question because, as you probably know, I was sacked unfairly, I say, from my taxi. And since then, my wages, my earnings have gone through the floor. So I've got to find another way to earn a living. And that way is opening up the opportunity to go and work in different areas.
Now, where are you saying Hertfordshire? There's nothing specific about Hertfordshire, is there? It's just a place that would be convenient for you to work.
Well, I mean, just across the border in Uttlesford, it's got a great big airport that has lots of work. So...
But there's nothing specific about that licensing authority there?
No, there's nothing. I mean, if drivers live out in Crawley, they can use Gatwick and wait at Gatwick and pick up at Gatwick and Luton, all around all the big airports where we know there's lots of work.
Now, previously, they've said, no, you can't.
Well, on Twitter, several times, they've actually said taxis must be in their licensed area when they accept a job, whether it's via an app or not. Now, we don't think that is true because what case law has defined in a couple of cases, Stockton versus Fiddler is the most recent one. And then prior to that, there was Berwick-upon-Tweed versus Newcastle. It's very clear that when a licensed hackney carriage is outside of its area, it's an unregulated activity. Mm-hmm. So it can accept a hiring. It cannot apply for hire outside their area. But more importantly, if that is the case law and we can go and work outside of our licensed area, then that means that TFL on their Twitter feed are not being truthful with us.
Yeah.
Now, it cannot...
Or don't know and the end result is the same.
Well, if they don't know, don't tweet that you can't do something.
Yeah,
It really is that simple.
That's right.
Now, if they are tweeting stuff that is incorrect... And the regulator's code gives clear guidance that they have to give you information that is factual, correct, and they're not doing that. Well, we have a problem, don't we? We're being lied to by our regulator.
Yeah.
And if we are nervous about going to accept these jobs outside of our licensed area, then we're not going to do them.
Yeah.
It's going to cause economic damage to us. We need the answer, and we need the answer pretty quickly.
And you could consider it, as long as the apps are working as they are working here, that it could be considered a restriction on trade, couldn't it, if you are prevented from working elsewhere?
Well, I mean, it certainly could be coined the phrase as negligent misstatement, couldn't it?
It could indeed,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Could be that. And there is case law around negligent misstatement where an authority gives you misleading information.
Oh, well, we could go for a whole number of things then, couldn't we?
So if TFL don't give us an answer that is in line with what the law says or case law says, then we will be looking at that, bringing a claim against Transport for London for negligent misstatement. That is very, very clear. But equally, if the answer to that is yes, we can work outside of London as a Hackney carriage, accepting pre-booked jobs, that means that Hackney carriages licensed anywhere in England and Wales can come and work in London on an app,
and that's
use our bus lanes. So effectively, what I could do is I could go and license a £3,000 or £4,000 vehicle in Hartford or Uttlesford or Trafford or any of these licensing authorities that don't require a topographical knowledge test. I could then come into London. I could work on an app and use bus lanes. So to boot as well, I mean, I would be charged congestion charge and ULEZ charge, but that is a tax deductible expense.
Evidently it is. Yeah, now, it's an offset of tax, isn't it? Really.
Now there's a problem here with the mayor's air policy, his clean air policy, because if I can work in a polluting vehicle in London, then how can he stop? How can he clean London's air and ensure that his policy is a coherent policy?
Right.
So we've got to understand what we can and can't do.
Well, this is, it's a basic question. It's a difference between working illegally and or legally. And I think that's the crux of it.
CFL know we are coming in to ask the question today.
They've been forewarned for quite a while.
They've been forewarned for quite a while in emails. They must have at least 25 emails asking this question.
Yeah.
We've put it to them that...
And a number of people, you have, I have, a few of us have sent the question in.
We've put it to them that we are coming to ask the question today. We would like an answer today, because tomorrow I'm starting work outside of London.
What they do, they smile in your face.
All the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers.
Backstabbers, they smile in your face.
Any driver who has a question regarding licensing, TfL should be explicit in their answer, shouldn't they? But they are not. This is the difference between working legally or working illegally, and TfL are not answering the question. If it is intentional and they don't want to compromise a particular working model, they shouldn't be there. And if they can't answer the question, then they shouldn't be there. What does that say about them?
They do. They smile in your face.
All the time they want to take your place. The backstabbers.
Backstabbers.
I keep getting all these visits from my friends. Yeah, what they doing to me?
They come to my house again and again and again and again.
And because I've told you can view it on Periscope, I don't really want to tell you what happened, but I've got to for those who haven't got Periscope. So we did go down to Taxi and Private Hire first. They pretended they was closed, or had actually closed because they knew we was coming down. They never closed on the afternoon. Quite amazing, really. They would only take orders from the big chiefs round at Palestra anyway, so we went round there and we asked the security if we could go up and ask the question, and he got a bit uppity. Didn't like it, but he did say he would send a message up to see if they would come down. I'm not sure whether he did that. He said he was going to do it, and we waited, and no one came down. Of course they didn't. Now, regardless of what we expect or don't expect from TfL, because sometimes it's our expectations that are at fault, isn't it? Because we shouldn't expect too much. Chris Johnson. He hasn't been in the game that long, has he? And is waiting the eternal wait for the Employment Tribunal to come about. I think he said sometime in 2020. Still, time goes by very quickly. I've got to admit, he's a bit of an obsessive a bit Mark Whiteish, maybe even Sammy Scarfish. But we rely on these obsessives to get to the nuts and bolts of the issue, don't we? To get behind the real complicated issues, because most of us wouldn't know where to start. And I'll tell you one thing, if any one of the 11 members up there at Woodfield Road knew a fraction of the amount that Chris Johnson or Mark White knows, we might not be in the situation we find ourselves now. The fact is, they don't, and we are. So we should big up people like Chris Johnson and Mark White, and any union, any org out there, should relish their input.
Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
But just latching on to what we were talking about earlier with Uber, because I don't think we project the significance on Uber so much anymore. And maybe we never did. Maybe it was always the local authority. I know the UCG had tremendous problems conveying the message that it was about TfL and not Uber. But nevertheless, I don't think they enjoy the same level of reciprocity that they once did with the government and the regulator. I believe they are still given regulatory favour, but I don't think they enjoy the same kind of partnership. I do think, however, that that relationship has shifted from Uber over to the local authorities. So I think the regulator and the government have a corporate structure with the local authorities. And for TfL and the local authorities to implement two policies that are impenetrable with the mayor's mass transport strategy and the local implementation on policy is to engineer the annihilation of the cab trade. And if that is the case, we need to smash the life out of it.
This is not a drill.
Repeat, this is not a drill.
Is that all you got? Let's begin.
Sadly, we are fast coming to the end of this broadcast, lovely listeners. But if you need to get hold of me, you can email me, sean@londontaxiradio.co.uk, or over on the Facebook page, London Taxi Radio. You can even DM me at London Taxi Radio or my personal account at Sean Paul Day. But we are not ready to go just yet. No way, Jose. Because we have saved the very best till last. And as it's Valentine's, here it is. John Cox, a.k.a. Parker Cabby, and Joe Lewis, a.k.a. The Holborn Cab, with Save the Last Dance for Me. Enjoy.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye and let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand neath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. Oh darling, save the last dance for me.
You're in fine voice.
Oh, I know the music's fine, like sparkling wine. Go and have your fun, dance and sing. But while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. And don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Baby, don't you know I love you so? 'Cause I can feel it when we touch. Now we'll never, never let you go, 'cause I love you all so much. You can dance, go and carry on till the night is gone and it's time to go. If he asks if you're all alone, can he walk you home? Tell him no. And don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me.
All right.
can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye, and let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand in the barrel light. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me.
Save it!
No, don't. Save the last dance for me. Oh, come on now, baby, won't you save the last dance for me? Oh, come on now, baby, won't you save the last dance for me? Oh,
one more time, won't you
save the last dance for me?
The number one music station. The best music, live and direct. This is
London Taxi Radio. This is.